so today he is continuing to answer questions that the church has sent him. First question, children's worship, if you stayed in during just to hear the missionary and would like to go to children's church now, you guys are more than welcome to go back. Anyone? Okay, maybe they all went. All right. So he has transferred, and we spent a lot of time answering the question about food offered to idols. And the way that he answered that wasn't just a yes or no, but what he did was he helped us as believers to think about that our actions and our decisions should be affected by one another. If I do something that causes a brother or sister to stumble or to sin, then I need to take responsibility of that. And he gave us over and over, just it's all for the sake of the gospel. He said, I become all things to all men so that I might save some. Or to end chapter 10, before he even starts here, he says, so whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And he says, I don't do things for my own advantage. He says, but that of many, that they may be saved. And he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So he's given us the reason why he's talking about these things is for the sake of the gospel. And I want to remind us, remember, there's a race to run, and so therefore we're not going to be distracted. We're not going to worry about the things that don't matter, but instead we're going to run the race marked out for us because eternity is at stake. When we have that in mind, then when we come to some of these hard teachings, we can understand why he's bringing them up. Well, it's because eternity is at stake, and we don't want it to be confusing. We don't want it to be distracting. And so because of that, then as he talks about today is going to be an issue that is very much a part of our culture. I believe that the enemy is coming against it, and that is this idea or this principle that God has taught all, starting in creation, all throughout the Word of God, and that is of authority and of submission. Authority and submission. And so, if you don't mind, if you're able, stand with me as we read God's Word. Now, I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head or authority or leader is Christ. So the head of all of us, Jesus Christ. The leader of our church is Jesus Christ. He is the head of all of us. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven. For if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair and shave her head, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image of the glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman. And all things are from God. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, is a disgrace for him, but if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice. Nor do the churches of God. Father, as we tackle this tough teaching, we ask that you would give us clarity. Show us ways that we can honor you with our lives. I pray that any desire, any feelings that we feel about certain things would be put to the side as we seek to understand your truths. And so we thank you so much. Lead us, help us to know with the gospel at stake that, Lord, that we would lay down things, liberties, freedoms, all for the sake of the gospel. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. To understand some of the context of what is going on here as we walk through 1 Corinthians, in the context of the culture, this is a Greco-Roman culture, meaning it is there in Greek and Roman leaders. We see that even just the legal status of women was one that was under the authority of a man within her family. So, for instance, it would be under the authority of a husband, or if a woman was not yet married, it would be under her father. And then even that, say she was married, but now he has passed or she's divorced, it would have to then be submit under another man. And so tying that within the culture that is going on, women were not able to even be a witness in a court of law. Their testimony would not stand, which raises a question of how awesome it is that God, even as Jesus is resurrected from the dead, that he would use women as the first ones to tell of what truly happened. If a Jewish man were to make up a story of the resurrection of Jesus, they would have never have used woman or a woman or women as the first ones to tell about Jesus. And so, here just understanding a little bit of the culture that is going on would now help us to understand why this is a big deal in the church. Paul is going to tackle three different things that are confusing in the worship of the church at Corinth, and this being the first one. There are a couple of other ones that we'll tackle in the coming weeks. But here, it is of head covering. Should a woman cover her head when she is praying or prophesying? And I just want to point out that here, praying or prophesying is not even in question. It is saying when a woman prays or prophesies in the worship or in the gathering, this is what she is to do. And so today, here, the ultimate defense of what is happening is whether or not how is a woman to show modesty, and how is she to show authority as she gathers together within her church? And this is important for us to understand. And so today, we will dive in. The primary issue is the preservation of the God-given roles between a man and a woman. And this is hugely impactful and is important for us to understand in our culture today, because the attacks against it is, I believe the enemy is coming against it from all angles. He is trying to disrupt the family roles of the husband and wife, and also even more particularly in the way of gender, and which we'll tackle here in just a minute. So let's first start with head coverings. Here, head coverings during worship. He mentions that men are to remain uncovered, and the reason for this is because they are in the image of God. And so all this is just saying is that because God is their ultimate authority, they are not to show with a head covering authority. So women in the culture of the time of Corinth that this is written, women would wear a covering to show that they are to be modest, and also to show that they are have a husband, or at least not on the market. Women who live their lives without a head covering, and even more specifically with real short hair, was showing that they were on the market, and more specifically that they were willing sexually to be involved. And so what this meant is many times the temple prostitutes, or even just prostitution in general in this culture in Corinth, it was a visual outward way to show I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm open. And so women within the church wanted to make sure that they were not giving those vibes, right? They weren't showing that, or that's not the signals that they were given. And so they covered. Now, what was happening within the church, especially among the Christians, is they know they're free now. And so women within the Christian church were saying, we're free. We don't have to adhere to all this, because Christ died and set us free from all these things upon the cross, which is true. And so within the liberties of the Christian walk, these women are saying, hey, we don't have to wear these coverings anymore. And that is true. But now Paul is helping them to say, but it is showing authority, which is a principle throughout Scripture, one in which women and men should continue to show, is that there is authority and there's submission to that authority. Now, as Paul laid out here, It says in verse 10 and following that that is why a wife ought to have the symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. So in other words, the angels are even looking on. Don't be confusing to them. But also it says, nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. So this isn't a superior or inferior thing that we're showing. It is showing that of role. Are you following with me? So we know that men and women, there's not, as a man, I'm not superior than my wife as a woman or any of you women. I have a different role and a responsibility, and that is one to lead. Are you tracking? To lead my household. That is the responsibility I have. Within the household, Lindsay and I, we are together. We are independent. And it says, for the woman was made of man, and so man is now born of woman. We need each other. Are you tracking? But at the same time, in the plan of God, it is shown that I have the responsibility to lead. And so therefore, my wife is to allow me to lead. Paul explains this really good in Ephesians chapter 5 as he's laying out the roles of a husband and wife. We looked here not too long ago, but I want to read it for you. Chapter 5, verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, here is the clarifying factor. Are you ready? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What did he do? He gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water from the word, with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot, wrinkle, any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. You hear the heart behind it. I'm to lead, but it's not with a iron fist or submit to me, woman. It is a, instead, I'm to love her sacrificially, humbly, in such a way that she wants to follow, not just wants to follow, but flourishes in following. That if I love my wife as Christ loved the church and the gospel is at stake, there's a race we run together, I'm not going to be distracted by the other things. It is a way in which our family proclaims the gospel to this broken world. Amen? And I want to tell you that the most secure that my wife can be is to know that she has a husband who sacrificially loves her. She is secure. She's confident. She knows who she is. She's not wondering about my eyes that are following other women. She's not wondering about what I'm doing when we're apart from each other, because I take a responsibility to love her. Now, I'm not a woman, so I'm not going to speak for women, but I just want to tell you that I believe, according to God's plan, that that is the most flourishing way that a woman can live her life, is to know that she has a man who is serving her, who loves her, who is going to lead her. Women, is that true? Amen. All right. So, you see, this is not a women get in your spot, right? Women get in your place. This is not a woman follow. This is not that kind of message. It is instead a way that it, I believe, more of a command for men that we are to lead and to lead well. Now, wives, here in Ephesians 5, women, it tells the wives their role. And let the wife, this is verse 33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And so as you respect your husband, I want to just challenge you women, let him lead. Make him lead. Ask him questions. What do you think we ought to do right here? Let him lead. Men, rise up. Lead your family. Lead your family. Lead in a way that honors the Lord, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, all to the glory of God. Amen? So now here the caution, though, is that we understand, and the caution is that we do not muddy the waters of the gender roles, okay? This is huge. I know this is smack dab in the face of our culture. In our culture wants to say that gender is a social construct, okay? But I want to tell you that gender is determined by a God who created us. Every one of us. He said he made us male and female. There is a documentary I watched not too long ago, it was done by Matt Walsh. I'm not defending everything that is done in that. I'm just saying he just went and asked the question, what is a woman? And it is in a culture that doesn't have clearly defined things. It can't be defined. And so I want to define it for you. It is an adult female. Okay, that is a woman. It can't be a man. It can't be a woman can't be a man, and a man can't be a woman. I just want to tell you, and it's clear, we have a God, and this is the whole thing. We have desires that are within us, and I want to tell you that our desires are evil. I'm going to say it again. Our desires are evil, and I'm not just going to say it from my perspective. I want to tell you, show you in the Word of God, that our desires are evil. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Mark 7:21 says, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder. And I just want to mention, sexual immorality, that's heterosexual, just as well as it is homosexual immorality. Are you with me? This is just anything other than God's plan. And so I want to tell you, our desires within us lead us towards sin, but all of us, every single person in here, every follower of Christ, here's what we're called to do. We're called to recognize our desires that are contrary to the Spirit, and we're to yield to the Spirit of God and His truth. You hear me? This is the call. Every single one of us. And so, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. James 1:14 says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by what? By the false world? No, by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Galatians then tells us, if we want to overcome these desires and this nature within us, he says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. I want to tell you, every single one of us are born into this world separated from God, and we have desires that are contrary to God. This is why we need the truth. And listen, here's why we need Jesus. Because not only does he forgive us of our sin, but he comes in and transforms us, gives us a new way of thinking to where we can live out then the plan that he has. So, going back to the whole point of chapter 11, or this first part of chapter 11 with the head coverings. Head coverings are to show authority. All of us have authority. I believe even within our homes, we have honor your father and mother, right? This is an authority in our life that we honor. We show that we honor them. And I just want to say, students, if you want to know how to best live out your life as a follower of Christ, honor your father and mother right now. And you're like, but they're not believers. Honor them. Honor them. Trust them. Show them, and they will trust you. Now, as we continue to live our lives, there's authorities that we all have. And we must learn to submit to them, humble ourselves. And as we do, I believe the Lord will lead us. And it starts here within the church. And this is what he's saying. This is a confusing thing. When the outside world looks and they don't see this show of authority. And so what does this mean for us in our day and time? Well, as a woman, let's say that you are praying or prophesying. Let's say the Spirit spoke to your heart and now you are speaking. Then I would tell you and challenge you that make sure that you are dressing modest. Modest in such a way that it's not distraction. Make sure that you are not in any way rising up over your husband's authority in some way, but instead that you would do so that honors, that is respectful. Make sure that it's not a distraction from the Word of God. Make sure that when we are living our lives, we're doing so to show that we trust God's way and God's plan. And so, all of us, as I mentioned, we have these evil desires. Here is the truth. The truth is, every one of us are born separated from God in this world. That's clearly seen in our sin. Look at the way the world is going. We see it in murder. We see it in death. We see it even in blurring the lines of God's plan and of his call. We see it in our own lives in lying, thieving. We've committed adultery in our heart. And one day we're all going to stand before God, and I just want to encourage you and challenge you and let you know that he loves you, and he sent Jesus to come and to die on the cross and tells us that if we would believe in Jesus, in his payment for our sin, that we will be forgiven of our sin, we would be made new, and that he would transform us. And man, this is the hope that we have. Let us look to him. Let us believe his way. Let us trust his plan over our own. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you so much for your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to look to you, to believe your plan over our own. We ask, Lord, that we would be willing to submit to the authorities that you have placed in our lives, and ultimately, by doing so, that Lord, that we would be ready always to submit to your authority. And so, God, we trust you. We need you. Help us. Lead us. Help us to follow you, to be proclaimers of you to this world. And so, God, lead us in this time. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would stand as we worship, I want to challenge you today to respond as the Lord would lead. If today you would like to surrender your life to the Lord, you come. If today maybe the Lord has shown you ways